Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Ten Commandments are also known as the Decalogue, and they actually appear twice in the Hebrew Scriptures, once in Exodus and once in Deuteronomy. And every 3 years, they appear in the lectionary. And interestingly enough, a few years ago, this young man down here, when he was much younger, Peter, wanted to know what they meant. Well, it's taken me a few years, Peter. And I'm not sure I'm going to give you all the answers, but I'm going to try to give you some. So when I saw the text, I did what I always do. When I get to those hard texts, I stop to pause and wonder, what do you do with these ancient texts that say we shall and shall not? None of us have our livestock working today, as far as I know, or our male and female slaves. So, I mean, they're texts that, you know, we look at them and we sort of hear them, but they are rules. They are the shalls and the shall nots, the do's and the do nots. And you know, whenever I look at a list of rules, well, you know how that goes. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe when you hear these rules, you wonder what they mean for your life today. Or possibly you grew up with the Ten Commandments and they've informed your life. They've been important to your life. The Ten Commandments were originally called the Ten Words. As you hear at the beginning of the text, it says God spoke these words. So they were called the Ten Words. And we know that in our culture they've caused a great controversy over the years about their place in our society. Should they be in our schools? Should they be in our courthouses? And I have to honestly tell you, I've always wondered what that would really accomplish, when in reality, we really don't pay very much attention to them anymore. And having them posted somewhere doesn't really give them much power. So with all that controversy, why would I want to stir that pot? Well, you know, I like to stir the pot. So. Many years ago, I read a book by a man named Ernst Lang, and the title was The Ten Great Freedoms. And Ernst Lang had taken the Ten Commandments and looked at them in a new way. I didn't agree with everything he said. In fact, I didn't agree with a lot of what he had to say. It was a very old, old book. But it did make me think about some things. First of all, the title, Ten Great Freedoms. And I started thinking about the tension between the freedom that life offers us when we make choice and these ten words that are in our scriptures and are part of our heritage. They are even part of our secular heritage. You don't have to go to church to know what some of them are. But the question is, where is the freedom? Where is Ernst Lang's freedom? In the covenant that God makes with us and that then we make in return with God. Is there really freedom in these rules? In these ten words. Ask yourself the question, how can these words of covenant, that's what they are, a commitment to do and not to do, free us to be in right relationship with God? Because we, after all, think about ourselves as Christian, and we live within and through the covenant that Jesus had with God. Don't we? There isn't anything we need to do or say or be to earn God's love or God's grace. We learned through the revelation of Christ that those are free. They are a free gift. So even with that assurance, I thought we might tackle these ancient words to see how the Israelites were guided by them. Because if the Israelites were guided by them, so is Jesus. Jesus the Jew. In this time of Lent, as we live through the covenant that he made with God, that freed us for all time, I thought we would take a look at these words and see how they guided his life. So with a little bit of help from Urs Lang and Pastor Carrie and me, we're going to share with you the 10 words in a new way. We're going to ask ourselves, what if we heard God speaking to us today in our culture and in our language? Could we find new meaning for these words? So we're going to ask you to be in a prayerful state, to listen, to center, and to listen to how these words might speak to your life today. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods.
You don't need to be afraid, neither of the power of the stars, nor of the power of people, neither for your money, nor for selfish endeavors. If you set your heart on these things, bind yourself to their limits. They will twist your heart and mangle your spirit. You will become a slave. I am your God. I want to be your helper. Set your heart on me, and you will experience real freedom.
I am the Lord your God. You shall make no likeness of me.
You don't need to let yourself be talked into anything. An image can point to part of me, but will never depict the whole of me. When you listen to the world, bring your focus back to me. Make your life in the image of what is good and merciful. When you think you have captured my likeness, you draw a false picture of God. I want to be your teacher, to lead you beyond the images, stereotypes, assumptions, and expectations that the world offers. Keep your mind and your heart open to hear my liberating promises. Follow me toward the wide horizon, and you will find truth beyond your wildest imagining.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not misuse my name.
Names are precious and powerful. I know each of you by name. But my name is I will be what I will be. You don't need to force me to help you with magical prayers made up of special words, and you cannot call down my power to destroy the enemies you have not learned to love. My name should be sacred on your lips. I am completely and freely your friend, and my power is for life abundant.
I am the Lord your God. You shall keep the day of rest sacred.
You don't need to run yourself to death, neither by uninterrupted work, nor by uninterrupted pursuit of pleasure, neither by the worries you make for yourself, nor by the fear you might miss something. All that only makes you hopelessly cramped and takes away all joy in life. Rest in me and find a new kind of fulfillment for your life.
I am the Lord your God. You shall honor your father and mother.
You don't need to live in continual revolt or knee-jerk reaction, neither against your parents nor against your teachers, neither against what custom is nor against what law is. Questioning is fine, but honor all relationships, for it is in loving one another that you draw closer to me. Revolt for the sake of revolt against those who have come before you will bind you as much as does slavish obedience. I want to guide you like a mother and a father, so that you might gain true freedom to be yourself, whole and holy.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not kill.
You don't need to see others as competitors that you must get ahead of, that you must make dependent on you, whom you must professionally or politically or personally finish off. Such an attitude is not a sign of strength and ability, but of weakness and fear. All life has value. Live your life in a way that gives life. I have breathed life into you so that you might live to help your neighbor and to love your enemy.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not commit adultery.
You don't need to live it up, to have your cake and eat it too. If you see others only as objects for your gratification, you dishonor them and diminish yourself. Committed relationships offer safety and depth, the freedom to grow together in love, as I have created you to do. Don't kill the joy of love with caricatures of love. Love others with the same covenantal love that I have promised you.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal.
You don't need to get rich dishonestly, neither by theft nor by deception in business, neither by cheating your neighbor or the government. What you gain in possessions in this way, you lose in peace and self-respect. I want to be your provider. You can give instead of take.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not lie.
You don't need to deviate from the truth, neither in order to run down your neighbor, nor in order to hide your failure, neither for your own convenience, nor because others demand it of you. In time, lying makes a hell out of one's life with others, but the truth will set you free from the complex webs of deception so that you can face the deepest reality. I have faith in you. You can give and create trust.
I am the Lord your God. You shall not covet.
You don't need to lust after what is not yours, neither the possessions of others, nor the ability of others, neither the goodness of others, nor the success of others. Envy of others takes away your joy in your own things. I want you to live with gratitude for all the good gifts that are yours. If you begrudge others their good things, you turn your back on the freedom to enjoy what you have.
The 10 words certainly can still ring true for our lives. And they are a covenant. They are a call. But when God calls us, it is always an invitation. And every single day, we are free to accept the call, to accept the invitation. Can there be freedom in choosing to follow God's call? Doesn't it seem paradoxical in some way that if you follow God's call, if you listen to these guidelines for your life, that there would be freedom in that? But freedom is an interesting thing. Are we free to do whatever we want, or are we free to do whatever we ought? The Ten Commandments can be understood not so much as a list of moral imperatives, but as ways of living as embodied in the life of Christ. He knew these 10 words. When we say that Lent is a time of repentance and becoming right with God, it doesn't mean that of the big 10, we can scratch 8 off and say, oh, I got some of them done. If I could just get that thing about Sabbath and coveting down, I'd have them all. It'd be cool. No, it means that when we do not rest from our labor, or we covet a friend's job, or we tell a little white lie, not to mention the more serious offenses like stealing and murder and adultery, the whole fabric of our relationship with God and with one another is torn. These 10 words led the Israelites. It guided them. It helped shape their lives with God and with one another. And Lent, like these 10 words, can help the church be a witness to the world, to shape our lives by confessing the ways we have squandered God's gifts. We can hear these ancient words and discern during this Lenten season how they can deepen our journey in the profound freedom, and it is freedom. We have true freedom from God to choose. There's a transformative power in there that will help form us in the image of Christ, who made a covenant with God so that we might all have life. Amen.